Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, August the 12th, 2025. In case you were wondering what day it was, and joining me in studio today, in studio here in Tupelo, is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
R, plural, two of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't look at me like you want affirmation on anything English related. Okay, because just said some. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did.
I
speak good.
Mm-hmm. It's not a. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you spell that. And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I haven't spoken to you. We were on the show last week.
I was not.
Okay, neither were I. Where were you traveling?
Far northern Maine, speaking at a Bible conference in Weston, Maine, which is, we were on a lake. We were so far north, the other side of the lake was New Brunswick. So way up in northern Maine. And Tim, have you ever been to Maine?
I have not been to Maine. One of the few states I have not been to. Alice, my wife, and she wants to go. We're going to go to... We went to Boston and did the whole Boston thing for a week, but we want to go up into New England further. But that's what
I got to tell you. I don't want to start an argument, but Maine might be the most beautiful state in America.
Okay,
I love North Carolina. I love Alaska. I mean, there are a lot of beautiful places, but Maine is, once you get past the Portland area, it's unspoiled. Wow. Unspoiled forest,
The population of Maine as of last year was only 1.4 million. So, I mean, Mississippi has twice the population of Maine.
And they like it that way.
Yeah. We'll look up the weather.
They like it that way. Oh, the weather is nice, 8 months out of the year?
Yeah, it was in the 50s at night and upper 70s during
the day.
So while you were in Maine, the reason I ask you this, while you were in Maine, and I talked about this yesterday, and I tried not to bore people with this.
It wasn't boring. I was listening.
Okay. Well, I just try not to bore people. But really, when you get to be past 60, you don't know if you're boring people or not.
Know. You know what? And they're not going to tell you because they look at you and say, you know what?
that elderly fella.
Let him go. And
you try not to bore people, but then you go, I don't care.
Yeah.
They're going to listen to me anyway.
It's the circle of life. That's what it is.
You know, Wesley, that was profound, son.
That's right.
I'm proud of you right there.
Proud moment.
Circle of life.
You may not own me here. You may not.
Okay, now you're going to break out in Elton John. do you even know who Elton John is?
I'll look him up.
Okay, you look him up there. What's that? We got a tornado warning here?
Sounds like it. No, that's that annoying alarm that I have because my brother's office is close to mine, and it really frustrates him.
Okay, well, from now on, why don't you turn that off during the show? How about that one?
That's okay.
So, Ray, back to my point, and I do have one here.
Yes.
While you were in Maine, Allison, my wife, and I, we went out to Yellowstone National Park.
What?
Yeah.
Was that?
We planned this about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're wild and crazy like this. You know what I'm saying? We just
do.
So we said we're tired of the heat and humidity here in our home state of Mississippi, which we love. But middle of August, you know, your attitude changes. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You're ready for the end of September to get here. So anyway, we decided to go somewhere cool. Went out to where your son preaches in Maine, right? I mean, in Montana, right? I know you've traveled extensively through Montana. Well, you know, Yellowstone's in mostly Wyoming, but it's also part Idaho and part Montana.
Okay, so if you're starting in Tupelo, how do you get from Tupelo to Yellowstone? Where did you fly from and to?
We flew from Memphis, had a direct flight to Salt Lake City.
Wow. Okay.
So you get in, you rent a car in Salt Lake City.
A 3-hour flight.
Two and a half hour flight, and then you rent a car and you drive 4.5 hours up to.
That's amazing.
Up to Yellowstone, but then went Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and then flew back. But so we did that. But the reason I mentioned that, 'cause I know you have family in Montana.
Yeah. Okay. So where did you stay when you were?
Well, a bunch of our listeners heard this yesterday, but I'll tell them again because what are they going to do?
I want to hear it. What
are they going to do? Cut it off.
Turn the radio off. Maybe so. We went glamping. You ever heard of it? Can you pronounce it?
Glamping.
Heard of it?
That's real fancy. That's real fancy camping.
That's camping without roughing it. Mm-hmm. That's what
I'm
called.
I'm with you. Sign me up.
No, it was. I had some points that I cashed in. I don't know if that I would have paid what I paid, and I'm not going to tell you.
That's right.
It's
literally ran by hotel.
I'm not going to tell you $350 a night.
It's Russian.
Oh brother.
But I think it was $300 a night. But you know,
it is what it is.
Hey, let me tell you, just average hotel room up in that part of the country. Yeah. It's going to be $250 at this time of year. Anyway,
sure.
We went up there and went glamping in a big canvas tent. As I said yesterday, it is a canvas tent and it has a king size bed.
Wow!
A shower, ooh, toilet, and a potbelly stove that you have to put your own wood in. Because I told him, I said, listen, for $300 a night, somebody's going to come do my wood.
So come here and put the wood in for me.
See me getting out of bed at 3 a.m. So anyway, we had a great time and first time we ever done that before. Yeah.
So you're in the tent. I mean, it's really, really nice, but yeah. I mean, you're outside, obviously.
You are outside. So. Yes, my friend, it got down to 38 degrees.
Oh,
and y'all, you got that potbelly stove over there. You got to keep, going.
Potbelly stove.
I think it's what you call it, right? Potbelly stove.
That's right. But did you have squirrels, rabbits, any bears come around?
The coyotes came up kind of close. Of course, we have coyotes here, but what struck me was, and then we'll move on. I promise, people, I won't bore you with this trip anymore. But what struck me, Ray, was that I sent my brother a video, right? Because I went outside the tent about 11 o'clock. I said, "Listen to this." And it was stone silence because there was no crickets.
Surreal silent.
In Mississippi, the crickets start in February.
Oh, yeah.
They never stop.
Yeah. They don't stop. Yeah. It's part of your life. I said, it's like living around an airport. You just don't even notice it anymore.
Right.
But I don't know if it's it must be the cold weather at night in the mountains that don't allow for crickets. Or maybe they're there. And they knew I was coming. I don't know what happened, but anyway, it's a bizarre when you're used to crickets going full 24/7. Well, not 24/7, but at night they start, the crickets I'm talking about.
Yeah, they even start late afternoon.
Yeah. Where did you go again? Yellowstone?
Yellowstone and Grand Teton.
It is currently 61 degrees.
Well, see what I'm talking about.
God bless America.
Now check with me in 3 months right there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I would love to see Maine.
Those national parks up there aren't. They're only open like 6 months a year.
Right. Yeah. I want to see Maine myself, but I want to see it like at the very beginning of fall when the leaves start turning, and then I want to quickly fly home.
Yeah.
Anyway. You don't want to be there in Maine for the winter.
No, so. Thank God every day that my dad took a church job back in the 70s and moved his young family to Mississippi from Ohio.
Well, winter. You remember cold winters in Ohio?
Oh, no, I don't. That was before I was born. And I thank God that God gave my dad the wisdom to move away from cold weather.
Cold weather, yeah. Well, but it's a different level of cold from even Ohio to Montana and Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
And those are some hardy.
Yeah, Fred's laughing at us
some
now,
hardy
calling
folks.
Us weaklings.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, not the Travel Channel, but we appreciate it. And
yes.
Good to have you back home, Ray, from
thank you.
State of Maine. Now, you done with your travels for a while? You got to go out?
No, one more. Next week, back up to New Jersey to do my final Bible conference of the year is next week at Harvey Cedars. Right on the Atlantic, the Jersey Shore is where it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now, what are you going to teach on?
Life of Jacob. I've been working with the Life of Jacob, Journeys with Jacob, the masterpiece of God's messy grace in human life.
Okay. That's your thing. So is that like a week-long talk or what?
Yeah, I'll be giving 6 talks on the Life of Jacob. And Jacob was a messy kind of guy, so there's unlimited great stories, good and bad, from Jacob's life.
Okay. Well, have you put that together in a book form or anything? Or
no, but I think that'll be next after after this summer. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Chris, what's the first depressing story you got for us this
morning? When we pray later today, we need to pray for families in Austin, Texas, as well as first responders. And I say that because a gunman opened fire yesterday in the parking lot of a Target store in Austin, Texas, killing two adults and a child before stealing two cars during a getaway that ended with police using a taser to detain him on the other side of Austin. Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis said the suspect, who, by the way, has been identified as Ethan Blaine Nineker, she said he's a man in his 30s with a, quote, mental health history. He fled the scene yesterday in a stolen car, wrecked that car, and then stole another from a dealership. He was captured about 20 miles later in South Austin, where he was taken into custody, and he remains in custody today.
So he shot two people dead in the parking lot?
And a child.
Three people dead.
Mm-hmm.
At a Target in Austin.
Yes.
Was there any motivation?
No, authorities are still investigating that. Now, this does come after that knife incident at a Michigan Walmart. So it's the second attack on a store in a couple of weeks.
You find out later that it was a domestic dispute or something like that.
Does not appear to be yet.
I've looked earlier, and I'm looking now, and I still can't find a photo of the person who...
This suspect?
The suspect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our AP story on AFN.net, the AP did not identify him.
If he's not white, they're...
Well, that's what I was getting at.
No, I mean, oftentimes that is the case. Now, the Daily Mail did go so far as to identify the shooter.
If he's white, he's going to be his picture's going to be on there. Usually. Listen, we mentioned last week, these are tragic incidents, mm-hmm. and three people are dead, and it's so I don't mean to in any way, shape, or form sound like I'm making light of this.
Sure.
But it's also stresses the importance of having the ability to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's 100%. Yeah, so...
To carry a gun yourself to protect and defend yourself.
Right. A minimum... there's a couple studies out there. And you got your liberal studies and your conservative studies. But the most... liberal study would show that over 500,000 potential crimes and or murders or burglaries, over 500,000 instances are prevented because of someone just actually having or brandishing or showing that they that there's a firearm in the area or on their body. And then as much as up to 300 million. And that's annually. So if your most conservative study would say that 3 million instances are resolved or never occur because someone in the room has a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And then as few as 500,000. So if you look at that, if you look at those studies, that proves that that having and being able to carry a firearm is far more
preventative in other violence being done
than other violence being done. Yep.
That was the case in the Walmart stabbing attack from late July.
It was the only way it stopped.
Yeah, an armed bystander apprehended the guy in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he had a gun.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He had a gun. And yesterday I'm thinking like probably, I don't know, the guy got away. But also if you're in the Target parking lot and you'd be thankful that another citizen had a gun if this guy's firing, killing people. You know,
sure, absolutely. So,
all right. So you're listening to today's next story, Chris.
Well, President Trump and the administration are still out there laying out their plans for what they're calling a federal takeover of Washington, D.C. in terms of law enforcement. For those that didn't hear it yesterday, the president was on the air for about 2 hours in a press conference that included a lot of people, including Attorney General Pam Bondi, Jeanine Pirro, who's now a U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. President Trump, long story short, wants to use the National Guard and some other things to try to up law enforcement there in D.C. He says crime has gotten terrible all over the city.
He's putting the National Guard, I want to make sure I got this correct, over the police department.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, and for a period of like the next 30 days, the Department of Justice will have control.
Or maybe
over
it's the Department
DC
of Justice. Okay, mm-hmm. Ray, have you heard this story?
You were talking about what Trump's doing up in D.C.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, he had a major press conference yesterday. He said, we're cleaning up our nation's capital from crime.
Yes.
By taking it over. And as I said yesterday, Washington, D.C., it's a District of Columbia, is the federal city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not independent. It's a federal city. And he, President Trump, as CEO of the country, he has the, and Commander-in-Chief, he has the constitutional authority to do what he's doing. So it isn't. It isn't.
He's not going state by state. He's not starting in New York City.
No. And I think, Ray, the intention of President Trump here is to make sure that Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, does not get completely out of control in terms of crime, where it starts hurting tourism, for example, and the quality of life even deteriorates even more. But most of the crime it's in the inner city. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, first of all, the District of Columbia has not just been blue or solid blue. It's been solidly Democrat controlled for,
right.
Tim, I don't know how many generations, mm-hmm. I guess. So, I mean, is there a Republican presence in the district? Yeah, there is, but it's pretty small.
Yeah.
So, really, what Mr. Trump is saying is, this is federal jurisdiction.
Right.
We're going to make sure that for the first time in a long time that the streets of the nation's capital are safe. And I congratulate him for it. And let's be honest, if the Democrat succession of mayors and the city council up here, if they'd done their job, this would not be necessary.
Right.
Mr. Trump's only doing it because they haven't done their job.
Yeah.
Here's the primary reason for... And there are multiple reasons why the big cities of our country, and as I said yesterday, I would define that as any over a million people. I know that Atlanta, Chicago, Boston, New York, L.A., I mean, these are cities with 4 or 5 million people plus, okay? But I would define it as a, for our purposes here, a million people plus. So I would say the reason that they've gone down the hill – going downhill is because soft on crime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Judges and laws. Number one. So a lot of the crime, yes. That's a lot of the violent crime are done that you read about are done by repeat offenders.
That's right. Yep.
So if you were to take the repeat offenders off the street,
start there.
What the old three strikes you're out or whatever you want to call it, but you keep these people behind bars and locked up and your crime rate will drop drastically.
Without having to change the definition of what a crime is.
What now?
Without having to change the definition.
While they do that somewhere?
Yeah. Well, that's been a talking point or a position for some in the Democratic Party of we can stop crime by changing the definition. We should change it.
Well, they're idiots.
That's,
I'm sorry.
They also made shooting. Right. They took any gun-related incident that involved like two or more people, and they now refer to those as mass shootings to make mass shootings sound worse.
Yes.
And then they watered down actual crimes.
Yeah. Yes. Back to your point.
Yeah, that's
you don't
okay.
have to do that,
that's
right?
That's okay. But until the citizens of said big cities start demanding that their judges –
mm-hmm.
and their politicians have a strong law and order approach and not soft on crime. That these people, well, this even happens in conservative states too. You read over and over again. I'll read here something going on in our area, and we live in a very conservative place. But I'll go like, here's this rap sheet. The guy's been let out 5 times, and he's done the same thing over and over again. And you're letting him out again.
It really doesn't matter how small. Well, there are some that can be more minor than others. But even with minor offenses, a person that's a reasonable, decent person, even after a minor offense, you go, oh man, I don't want another one on my sheet. You
right,
know,
right.
My point is, but when you get to two or three or four, even if it's a minor offense, there has to be some. At some point, you have to have a significant consequence in a way that they go, I'm not going to do the other minor offense again, even if it's small.
That's right, Ray. You'll read about a car crash involving somebody who was drunk.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll say, well, this was the person's fourth DUI in 3 years or something
yes.
like this.
And
I'm going, like, why is he even out driving?
Right.
Yes. Obviously, he's doesn't care.
Right.
Anyway, Ray, go ahead.
Or the law enforcement is so overwhelmed. They have so many, they can't take care of it.
In big
like
cities,
that.
That's true, wouldn't you
in
say?
In big cities, they just can't.
And they don't have they any, and they would say, that they. I guess I've heard the argument too, they don't have anywhere to put these people.
That's right.
100%.
So it's a tough thing. But look, if you've had four DUIs, you should not be driving a car. It should be illegal to drive
right.
a
and
car.
And if you do, you get locked up for, I don't know.
It's got to be severe enough.
Yeah, you get right. you have to have consequences. And in these, but back to our original point, yep. the reason that the crime rate in Washington D.C. is out of control,
or any other big city,
is because of soft on crime policies,
mm-hmm.
and the in the inner city, the breakdown of the black family
mm-hmm.
has caused a lot of gang activity among young males because mm-hmm. they don't have dads in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a big problem. I'm talking about in the inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you combine soft on crime with no dads in the homes and the money they can make by drugs and so forth. It's a recipe for disaster, and that's what we're seeing played out. Go ahead.
As we're speaking right now, the various Washington, D.C. officials are having a press conference, and the police chief has been quoted by CNN as saying, "I report to the mayor, not the president."
Well, that is true,
but
the mayor reports to the president, right?
Yeah. Well, in this case, this is a separate. This is an issue that the president has the authority
mm-hmm.
of the federal city. There aren't multiple federal cities. There's one federal city, District of Columbia, Washington D.C., and he has the authority to take over the law enforcement with the National Guard. Being used. Well, I guess the President of the United States can call out the National Guard anywhere in the country
mm-hmm.
for any reason. Mm-hmm. You know, he has that authority. So we'll see
Have any audio on Gene or Janae?
Judge?
Judge Pirro, we do.
How long is it?
It's 40 seconds.
Go ahead, let's play her.
Clip three.
Also, some violent crime is down. Why now?
Why now? Because, you know, it may be down, but the question is always down from what? If we had the fourth largest highest homicide rate in the country 2 years ago, all of a sudden it goes down. People want to pat themselves on the back? No way. Talk to any of the crime victims. I was just at a college a couple weeks ago where I had photos of young kids who were victims of homicides, of shootings, and it happens over and over again. It's not okay because it's down from last year. It's bad. This is the nation's capital. This is a shining city on the hill. We're not going to tolerate it. People are afraid to come to this city.
It's hard not to call her Judge Janine now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've already done it.
She is. She was appointed U.S. attorney
mm-hmm.
for the District of Columbia by President Trump, and mm-hmm. so she is going to be responsible for a lot of the prosecution going mm-hmm. on here, Ray. Judge Janine.
Hey, look, God bless her.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that attitude that yeah. we're not going to sit around and take these skyrocketing crime statistics. We're just not going to take it. We're going to act. And, hey, the mayors of places like Chicago ought to sit up, in Los Angeles, other places, sit up and take notice that the federal government, is going to defend
right.
the streets of America.
All right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray, we thank you for listening. We shall return with Sandy Rios coming up. Sandy will be our guest next up here on the show. Stay with us.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabrielle, is thriving because Preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies Preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers Preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year, and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabrielle fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. And now our good friend Sandy and colleague Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy, host of Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast, which thousands of you listen to every week here on the American Family Radio website, where you have Sandy's podcast available to you three times a week. Sandy was on the air with us in the morning for 10 years. And she finally said, you know, I'm tired of getting up every morning, a live radio. I want to do my own thing with a podcast. And so she earned the right to do that. That's right.
And we were happy she decided that.
Right. I didn't know how it worked because I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
She really kicked off our podcast because we didn't really have a whole lot of that going on at the time.
Keep talking, she's going to want more money. So you need to dial it back a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning, Sandy.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing, Walker. Thank you.
That's Wesley.
Much. Oh, that was Wesley.
Yeah, that's Wesley. Sounds like Walker.
All right, I want to take back a few things.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
She called you your brother?
Probably Walker. I'm kidding.
They get confused a lot, but usually not on radio.
I usually know them, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
that's,
do.
That's
you
just
do.
My bad. My bad.
You do.
Sorry, Wesley, but thanks for, you know, the encouragement.
You're very welcome.
What have you been up to this summer, Sandy?
Well,
just curious.
You know, truly, I haven't been traveling as much, and so I've been concentrating on the podcast. I'm actually working on Newsmax. I'm doing a lot of appearances on Newsmax.
Okay.
That's changed the dynamic.
How do you do that? You do that like a Zoom or something?
Yeah, you do it like a Zoom. It's really funny. It's really funny. It's
you,
so different. You know, I've done so many mediums in whatever it is I do.
Yeah.
And every one is different. And so you'll love this because when you do, as you know, when you do a Zoom, you got people in different places on the screen.
Yeah.
So if you want to see people, you look over here and then you look over there. Well, that looks terrible on a television camera, I have to tell you. So I've had to learn how to actually do, an appearance on a computer screen, a Zoom.
So, on Newsmax, now they've grown a lot, haven't they, Newsmax?
Yeah, they've gone public, and they're growing leaps and bounds. They've got a great lineup, and so
what show are you on? Are you on multiple shows.
American, you're not going to ask me. I can't remember, but I've been on weekend shows. American Agenda during the day. I've been on with Chris Salcedo, Todd Starnes, actually a bunch of them. So so that's changed my life a little bit. It's been good.
I got you. All right, so let's see what we. I wanted to ask you. Hold on just a minute, because what was I going to talk to you about, Sandy? You remember?
Yeah, well, I participated yesterday in a conference at the White House. And by the way, I haven't had a chance to tell you, I ended up not going. I did it at home virtually. It was from 9 to 1 o'clock, but it's about the celebration of America's 250th anniversary. It's called America 250. President Trump actually started this in his during his first term. And what they're going to do this year, what they're already doing, it will just blow your ears back. It is so exciting. They're sending, I'll just give you an idea. Of course, if you don't care about history, maybe you won't be so pumped about this, but they're going to do a parade of the tall ships in New York Harbor on July the 4th of 2026. And that's where the Revolutionary War, that was where the naval battles really centered, where the British came in. So, and they're inviting tall ships from other countries as well. They're sending trucks around the country that are set up as museums. And these are really high-end, like vignettes of parts of our history. So they'll be all over the country. They're sending airplanes out, and the airplanes are going to have they're going to go to major cities. Some of this is still in the planning, as you know, but they will bring original documents on those airplanes. Like, people will be able to board the plane and see some of the original documents. They're doing an initiative. They're doing stuff for kids. They're encouraging state fairs in all 50 states. Now, a lot of the states already do them, but the blue ones, not so much. And so they're trying to persuade them, incentivize them to join this whole thing so that we have big celebrations in all 50 states.
Okay. So just to be clear, what you're talking about here is President Trump and his administration initiated this the plans going forward to celebrate the 250th birthday of our country, which is next year, 2026. And so all the planning and all the events are being put together. And they, being the White House, has asked you to participate in this. Is that right?
Yes.
What an honor that is, Sandy.
Well, I feel the same way, Tim. And I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, this is really... I get excited about American history. I always pushed it. When I was on radio in Chicago, I used to do history constantly. I still do as much as I can.
I hope as good as... I have such fond memories, and I know many of our listeners do, who were alive at this time and can remember the bicentennial, right?
Right. I was just thinking about that. That was a wonderful year-long celebration, and I remember on July the 4th, 1976, that, because this was back when that was pre-cable news and way pre-the internet, but they had those shots from different places all over the world and from Valley Forge and from, you know, Yellowstone, from all over the country. It was let's put it this way, Sandy, when it's done right, a great celebration is a tremendously unifying moment for the whole country.
Absolutely. And that is the point. Their point is to bring the American story to the American people as a way of uniting us, because our story truly is unique. Amen. There's no other story like it. And so they want to, and because we have so many uneducated, but educated, smart, uneducated people in our history, this will apply to everyone. We have a lot of immigrants who have no idea. Immigrants used to come to this country because they knew our story. It's not happening that way now. And so they're going to be celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Navy and the Marine Corps coming up. And these, remember, this is the birthday year. Mm-hmm. So the 2025 is the actual date, but all of this stuff is going to lead up. Everything's not going to happen on July 4th. It's too
much. It's going to be a year long. But July 4th will probably culminate most of it. But, man, yes. I would love to be in New York watching that.
Oh, my gosh, the tall ships?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Me too. I don't even have time to go through. I wish I could tell you everything that they're planning.
Well, when you come back on with us, will you, like, update us about things that are going to be in the works? And do you have a website?
Have more specific.
Is there a website they have put up yet? Go ahead.
Well, right now... right now, this is cool. Go to whitehouse.gov. Go to whitehouse.gov, and then you'll have choices of where to go. So go to history. There'll be a history. There'll be America 250. If you click on that, they have already, Tim, they have these incredible I don't know how they're not. They're like vignettes of founding fathers, of the signers, of people that you've never heard of before who were patriots, but they have a story to tell. And it's like, it's not animation. It's hard to explain. It looks like AI must be doing it. I mean, they look like they're really talking.
Thank God President Trump is in there during this period. If we'd had Kamala Harris in there, it'd been woke and disparaging of America, and it would have been
everything. Every worst thing you could think of.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give you an example. I just read that Barack Obama was the reason why Clarence Thomas was never included in the Black History Museum. They wouldn't allow him. That was Obama. And who's more a part of American history than Clarence Thomas?
Right.
It's just
he was a second African American. I believe I'm right on this. After Thurgood Marshall.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Can I scattershot a couple other things?
Yeah.
A movie is going to premiere on July the 4th of 2026. You can buy your tickets now. It's called One Young Washington. Young Washington. Wow. It's him before he became president. And also I need to add, because you and I need to talk to him, there are ways that AFA can get involved that I would love to see us do. They're supporting groups all over the country that come up with their initiative to help celebrate America's 250th. So we need to talk.
Amen.
I have a question for the history buffs, beginning with Sandy.
I'm buff.
Okay. Well, everybody that was
the ladies first.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. So it's going to take me a second to set this up. On this day in history, East Germany began construction of the Berlin Wall in 1961. As we all know, President Ronald Reagan is largely the reason why it came down. Where were you, Sandy, when you saw or heard President Reagan tell Gorbachev to tear down this wall?
Well, I was living in Wheaton, and I had my two children. And the honest answer is, I was caring for my kids. My daughter required a lot of care, and I remember when that happened. I did not have the luxury of sitting and watching it on television, and it killed me. Because you might remember, I lived in Berlin. I visited that wall. I've been into East Germany through Checkpoint Charlie many times. So that was really close to my heart, but because of my circumstances, I wasn't able to sit there and just watch it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was. I was in Wheaton.
Well, okay, what's coming up on your next podcast here on AFR?
Well, I'm getting ready to talk to Hans von Spakovsky about this new census. Why a new census? Kind of, the left is accusing President Trump of, this is just political. But as I'm reading about the 2020 census, it really was corrupted. And they had overcounts and undercounts in, of course, blue states. Undercounts in red states and overcounts in blue states. And that means that they have they get more resources for their state because they count. Also, illegal immigrants were counted in the 2020 census. And so all those numbers go into deciding how many electoral votes you have as a state. It's really skewed our politics. And now we're finding out that Republicans actually, like even in California, pull something. I'm going to just take this pull us out of a hat, but I think it was 40% of the vote. And yet they have like, and I'm pulling this out of a hat, they have like 20% or less of the representatives.
It's less.
Because of the census. Mm. So I'm going to have a whole conversation about that. I'm also going to be talking about, I'm going to catch up with the J6ers. I've been doing that. What's happening with them is so tragic, I can't even bear it. Honestly, Tim, there have been some more suicides. They have PTSD. They're not hired because people don't want to hire them because there's such a taint on them. They've lost their families. They've lost their businesses. Many of them were really successful military men who've just been just damaged so badly. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring attention to that because I want people to help in any way. It's possible. So I'll do that today, too.
All right. Well, that's so what you need to do, folks, is simply go to listen to Sandy's podcast, which is three times a week. And go to AFR.net, our website, AFR.net, and click on podcast. And you'll see Sandy Rios 24/7. You'll see it there, along with all of our other podcasts. So check it out. And you can set that to download whenever she releases a new podcast.
Can I jump in?
Yes, just go ahead.
Quickly? One thing, Bruce and I have been covering the Russian conspiracy, the wheels off the bus on that big lie. And so we've had some really intense podcasts on that. And because Bruce is a former FBI agent, he has a lot of understanding. So I would just commend those to people that want to know, kind of want to figure out what's going on.
Okay, when you say wheels on the bus, I'm thinking go round and round. Am I the only one?
No,
that's it.
Sandy said wheels on the bus.
Unfortunately, like father, like son, yeah. So on that one.
Round and round, round and round.
We'll have to think about that.
I don't know. All right, thank you, Sandy. Take care.
You're welcome,
tell Bruce
guys.
Hello for us, okay?
I will. Okay. Great to talk to you guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, Sandy has a outstanding podcast 3 times a week that she releases here. So go to AFR.net and click on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Oh, okay, Tim. I'm just sitting here thinking about what Sandy said, and she mentioned the tall ships up in New York.
Yeah,
which got your interest.
In the harbor there.
In the harbor. Yeah. Okay, so what I think we need to do, she said we could get involved. We need to take today's issues and go coast to coast. Send you up to New York City and send
New
somebody
York
else.
New York City?
Yes, New York City. And down there in Miami, somebody.
Yeah.
And I'll be glad to cover Kansas City for you.
Okay.
You know, whatever, we'll be doing something.
Well, you know, we might put together something there. I think you may be on to something.
We're not going. None of us going to be around for the 500th. So if we're going to do something,
no.
we better
right
do
about
it for
that.
The,
I don't care 50. How many medical bands. I don't think you want to be. Honestly,
I don't think I want to be.
No, I don't think you want to be.
This is our only chance, guys.
Yeah. So 250 year. But I'm glad that these guys to my left here. In studio, we're going to be able to go through this, the 250th
yes.
anniversary, because I remember the bicentennial.
Yeah,
and
I was
how special it was.
Yeah, I was looking that up when y'all were talking about it. Because I remember the bicentennial coin, but I had no idea there was apparently a bunch.
No, I would have been 13 years old. You would have been what, 26, Ray? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something
aren't you 10
like
years
so.
Older
20,
than me?
Yeah, I'm at 24 25? Years, 20 something like that. Yeah, and it was. Like the last moment, okay, from 76 until now, there's been no moment like that in the last 50 years where the whole nation,
right,
left and right and center,
right,
came together to celebrate this nation. I hope that happens next year. It's a wonderful moment. It would be great to see America come together and celebrate all that has happened.
I remember after 9/11 happened, for a period of about maybe 2 weeks, patriotism was really high in the country, and
everybody
was kind of arm in arm. And George W. Bush got a standing ovation when he walked out onto the field at Yankee Stadium to throw the first pitch, and then everything kind of fell apart after that.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray next story. Chris.
Well, hey, talking about the future here, this was a bizarre story, but I want to mention it because everybody has plans or grand visions of the future.
I have them.
You know, I mean, there was a
it's
time where
glamping. No,
yeah, there was a time, and not just in animated cartoon shows, where people thought we would be in flying automobiles by now and visiting different planets and stuff like that. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. We can't.
Well, people in the '60s visited different planets.
They did. They did.
But that was. It was artificially induced.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yes. There is a famous saying that if you remember the '60s, you weren't really living them. But I bring all this up because, and I'm not old. While I look like I'm old enough to have been from the '60s, I'm nowhere near that old. But I bring this up because Sam Altman, the chief executive officer of OpenAI, he is in the news for saying that in 10 years' time, college graduates will be working some completely new, exciting, super well-paid jobs in space.
Like
we're not
Jetsons.
Talking about your personal space here.
No, we're not talking about your personal space or a safe space. We're talking about
safe space. That's
people
outer.
Working
we're talking about
in
outer.
Yeah. In 10 years' time, it is possible, likely is another issue in my opinion that nobody asked
All right,
before.
So I was the one who saw this story. This gentleman here is very well known to people in the high-tech and business world, right? What's his name?
Sam Altman.
Sam Altman, and Ray, he is a he's CEO of
OpenAI.
OpenAI, mm-hmm. So artificial intelligence. So he's very knowledgeable on he's kind of brilliant, like Elon Musk is brilliant, and some of these guys are have left wing politics. I don't agree with.
Sure, sure.
But you got to admit that they're highly intelligent. Okay, so this gentleman, I don't know what this guy's politics are, left, right, or central. I don't know. But I know he's making a prediction, Ray, that Jobs. When did he say?
In the next in 10 years' time.
Yeah, 2035.
Yeah,
some of the jobs will be in outer space.
Yes, young people, college graduates will have some completely new, exciting, super well-paid jobs.
So he's going to have a long ways convincing me because I believe that less technology is better, and I also have no interest in space. So I'm starting on. You're going to have to change my mind here.
What is that even?
Now you've already entered the. I don't think you're going anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, Ray.
What does he mean? I mean, does he mean literally jobs where on another planet,
like floating Jetsons. Around?
Well, I don't know about it on Jetsons, another. I don't know about
another show.
I don't know about on another planet. Yeah, but
things
he's
involving the space race,
the space race, or you know, out there. I don't know.
He also pointed to in the story that the increase in space engineering degrees are outpacing all the other jobs by average.
Oh, you mean so people see this trending as the way to go?
That was his point. Yeah. That was one of his points.
Yeah.
Well,
I think there's more important things on planet Earth to worry about. But Elon Musk is one of those people that's dead set on us eventually going to Mars in the not too distant.
Oh, he wears that Occupy Mars T-shirt every other day. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man, you're a billionaire, man.
And he's
the richest man in the world. Get you some more T-shirts.
That's the thing. I mean, we might literally, like our children might literally watch a human being set foot on Mars.
Yeah, he's got a timeline for that too, doesn't he?
Oh, 2030 something.
Yeah, you believe all that, Chris?
That we'll set foot on Mars?
No, that we ever went anywhere.
I do. I do.
You all think the moon landing was faked?
No, I think it was real.
So do I.
Okay, well. You guys believe what you want to.
Right.
The first people we should
Area
send up 51, there is.
Area 51. You ever heard of Area 51?
I've heard of Area 51.
And have you ever heard of a flat Earth?
Yeah, you ever heard of a. I've heard of a flat Earth.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but,
it's the one we live on, Dad. So we live on a flat Earth.
Arizona.
That's what I
believe. You can film this thing in Arizona and make it look like the moon.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And no, I do believe.
I do believe
we went to the moon. Okay.
It would be funny though if an alien from outer space did come here and then Trump deported him for being here illegally.
If what now, Chris? Repeat that.
I said it would be funny if like ET came to Earth and then Trump. Because Trump that person was here illegally, did deport. Because you know,
you are gone. You're in history.
Universal, across the board. Big, beautiful, get out of here.
Got to stand in line like everybody else.
Have ICE arrest ET. Yeah.
He said no. He said he wasn't kind to me.
Yeah. This guy's a brilliant guy. We'll see whether that happens or not. But he's saying that. What did you say? Space? What engineering is?
Yeah, it was,
a top major.
Yep.
Some A&M schools, including the one that we went to, are actively involved in things like
space program. Mm-hmm.
You can't go to the moon without first going through Mississippi. That's the famous saying, and they're referring to our space research.
Where is that famous?
That's actually from the 60s. The Stennis Space Center down in Mississippi played a big role along with Huntsville in terms of getting man to outer space.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You can't go to the moon without first going through Mississippi.
I thought you were quoting like a country song.
Sound like a country song.
Didn't it, Ray?
No.
It did.
The Carpenters. No.
You can't get to the moon unless you go to Mississippi.
Here it is.
Down, down, down. Go ahead.
Aerospace engineers are growing faster than the national average of all other jobs.
They'll cut back on their
buffets.
They won't do that.
That's right.
Oh, I'm talking about the field itself, not the individual.
Yeah, not the individual.
So
aerospace.
Tang for everybody.
Faster. Repeat that again now. This is from that article.
Yeah, this is from the article, and this is one of the points that Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, is making. He said that aerospace engineers are growing faster, not physically,
in
the field than the national average of all other jobs.
I got you. Well, so we'll see what happens with that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Got any? You got one more story to close out the hour, Chris?
Well, I did mention, I like to do the On This Day in History stuff. I mentioned
you
that
do?
To Sandy a minute ago.
Uh-huh.
Today is also the anniversary of Thomas Edison inventing the phonograph. It was invented on
What's
this day in 1877.
Chris?
It's the precursor or the grandfather of the album or the record player, basically. American inventor Thomas Alva Edison made perhaps his most original discovery, the phonograph, and his early recordings were identifications or indentations embossed into a sheet of tinfoil by a vibrating stylus, whatever that is. Basically, it was a recording device that you could record something on, and that led to eventually a record player.
Do you understand anything Chris said right there, Ray?
So like 45, 33, and 78. 78. That's what we're talking about.
Okay,
right?
Now, in all seriousness, Thomas Edison, who, by the way, was the greatest inventor of all time.
Yes.
Go back and look at his resume. It's just you wouldn't think any one person could do anything like he was able to accomplish. Thomas Edison, I'm talking about.
Yeah. But you were in the top five.
I was, but then I started having kids.
Got your hands full.
Yeah, youth baseball came along, and I said, you know what? I'm either going to have to focus on my family,
family,
or I'm going to have to keep inventing world-changing equipment. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to
make
choices.
You made the right decision, Tim.
That's what I'm talking about, right? You got to make choices in life.
That's right. You did good.
Yes, I would have been
in top five.
I would have been. Not Thomas Edison level, but, you know, right in that second
but,
tier.
But up there. Up there.
You can visit his birthplace in Milan, Ohio. I've been.
No, I was born in Missouri. Chris, is that what you're talking about?
He really
was. I'm still on Edison. I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad. I misunderstood.
Dad was born in Missouri.
That sounded very arrogant to me. I
helped you there.
I didn't mean to.
I gave you a softball.
Hey, we love Thomas Edison. We love him. He was great.
He was great.
Electric lights and all that.
All right,
telephone.
We shall return in 5 minutes. Stay with us.